Welcome in, everybody. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, worldwide, via the Chief Sports Network app. Download it for free. All the content is there. And, of course, I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He is J.C. Sherbert, my co-host, cutting through, whatever crazy, smoggy barrens he finds himself in through points unknown.
60 degrees today.
Is that nice? All right. Points unknown, yeah. Not so cold, points unknown. It's funny, I was watching the Clown Song today, actually watching it. I usually run downstairs and, you know, grab a cup of coffee or something, but I was fully prepared. And I have watched the movie It for the first time over the past, like, week. Took me like 5 days to do it because I just don't have a lot of time to sit down and watch a movie. And
yeah,
wants to watch it with me, you know. So it's like I'm on my own here. It's a solo mission. So I watched the original one, which I thought was older than it is, but it was from 1990, and then watched the remake that had one of the kids from Stranger Things in it. And now I'm watching the second, the chapter two of the remake, because of course they split the first movie into basically two parts. It's the story lends itself to doing that well. But yeah, first time I've ever seen that. I was expecting more, truly. I wanted it to be a little scarier, but it's just...
Yeah.
I think we've desensitized ourselves to clowns around here, JC, so it's just not going to get me.
Man, I'll tell my wife that. Yeah, the 1990 one was actually a miniseries that John Ritter was in it, Tim Curry.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Evil clown, but it's very well known. So it's a lot of Stephen. My oldest stepson's a big Stephen King fan and loves it. Pennywise the clown and all that. It's not my favorite. I think Stephen King's done some better stuff, frankly. But the movie, the book, The Stand, is actually one of the better pieces of literature that he's really long, but it's really good. So he's written so many things, man. It's kind of crazy.
I know. Yeah. Very prolific.
So Jesse Jackson died yesterday along with Robert Duvall, just to start it off on a bright note. Interesting. And I was thinking about this today, and you know, Jesse Jackson's kind of a political figure. And I do think growing up at the time I did, he was a, you know, civil rights icon, and certainly, you know, grew up in Greenville, made a name for himself, and ended up in Chicago for a while. His son is actually my representative, which shows you how much they kind of gerrymandered the districts here out in my little neck of the woods. It's not left leaning, but somehow it gets, it's part of a downtown Chicago district. But I remember growing up, you know, he was a big, I remember he ran for president a couple of times, and, you know, anybody from South Carolina that does well for themselves, we're the South Carolina Network, we talk about it. But I thought it was interesting that there are two in history, one of them sports related, there's two iconic people that have now both passed on, both the last name Jackson, no relation, that are tied directly to Greenville and Chicago. Shoeless Joe Jackson with the Black Sox, right. And then Jesse Jackson. So I thought it was interesting, same last name. Same tie to a Midwest major city. And then Robert Duvall, of course, has a tie to upstate South Carolina as well, because one thing we did not mention yesterday, because it's inside the Gamecocks, is Robert Duvall later in his life became a diehard Clemson fan.
For whatever reason.
Just liked him. I like that old Dabo Swinney.
That old Dabo. That's right.
I mean, that's, you know, if you're just out there and you're picking a team, and you're kind of salt of the earth, I could – taking the Gamecock out of it, see where you'd gravitate toward Clemson. You know, they're underdogish a bit in a small town. You know, it's like, wow, you know, a lot of people don't even know they're in South Carolina outside of the state. And that's not a knock on them.
No.
But Krager talked about Eddie Murphy doing Jesse Jackson speeches. Yeah, and Raw and stuff, all that good stuff. Jimmy says his favorite all-time – this is from the ITG chat box, by the way, if you're listening at home. Favorite all-time movie is Lonesome Dove. So, anyway, James Vanderbeek, Jesse, I mean, does Jesse Jackson count as a celebrity? I would think.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It comes in threes. My wife is saying no. He's not really a celebrity. He's more of a politician. But I think he does. So it comes in threes. So Vanderbeek, Duvall, Jesse Jackson. So it's been going on since about 2016. It's now 2026, Phil.
That's right.
It all started when they assassinated Harambe. That's when society started to fall apart.
Society's downfall can be traced back.
We were all going along just fine. Everything was just fine until they shot Harambe in cold blood. My goodness. My goodness. And it don't get any better. It's not getting any better.
No, that's right. Yeah, you're lucky to maintain right now.
I mean, certainly it may be better than about 2020-ish for sure, but it's like, wow, you know. Anyway, wanted to bring this up. So Ray Tanner had some comments that were pretty interesting over the weekend. Somebody asked him directly about, and I guess he's at the baseball game, about success in men's sports or lack thereof. As the former athletic director who hired all three sitting head coaches, I think it's a fair question. I don't know that, you know, we can talk about whether or not he was going to give a good answer, kind of being put on the spot like that or something. But certainly I think it's a fair question. And it was kind of in the context they were asking him. He and Kip Bocknight went into a Baseball Hall of Fame out in Texas and had gotten back to that. So taking like the let's blame Ray Tanner thing out of it, right? Because if baseball doesn't turn it, football continues to struggle. You can't really say that any of these hires have worked out well on the men's side. So in football, men's basketball, baseball. I mean, you just can't. I mean, it's fair or unfair. You can't, right? You just can't. I mean, you can't. And hiring, of course, is not the only job of an AD. But, you know, it's what you're – I mean, when they make good hires, they talk about it, right? It's on their resume. So you got to do it. So take all that – let's criticize Tanner or evaluate him as an AD. That's an argument that – or not an argument, but a topic and a debate that's easy. So I want everybody to think today, because it's not so much about what he did and how he did as his job. It's what he said. And he said basically, it's cyclical. Now, it may not have been something he gave a lot of thought to, or he may have just been kind of caught off guard or whatever. So here's my take on it. I want to get the chat box's take. Okay, so I agree and disagree with that statement, because I do think that when you talk about the SEC and you talk about all the programs in it, and really any sport these days, you know, football for 17 years was dominated by Alabama. Occasionally you'd have LSU pop up. Georgia would pop up at times. You know, it was Alabama's show in football. Basketball, yeah, Kentucky's been consistently good, but everybody goes up, everybody goes down. It's a roller coaster. Baseball is so dang hard that teams go up, teams go down. You have teams that didn't even give a flip that are now powerhouses like Tennessee. You have the overachievers out of Kentucky. You have the model of consistency now, which is Arkansas. LSU is back. And then you added Texas and Oklahoma. Mm. Oklahoma, of the SEC teams that went out to Arlington to play in that tournament, Oklahoma looked the best out of all of them this past weekend. So they're off to the Sooners are off to a red hot start on the diamond. I like their coach too. Mm. So I think that I agree to this from the broad sense of, yeah, it's cyclical everywhere because it's a tough league and you're not always going to have, I mean, you know, a great team. And that's what he said. It's cyclical. But what I got to say is, as it relates to the question about the state of things, I do not agree that this should ever be normal. And that's across the board. And the reason why, and chat boxers, please say what you feel, say what you think. The reason why I feel is this. I think every program at every school has a baseline standard. Like, and you're either meeting that standard or you're not. And when coaches deserve to be fired is more times than not, they're not meeting the baseline standard. And then if you just get by with the bare minimum, nobody keeps their job doing that either. You know, you don't have to be always extraordinary every year, but you know, you can't just meet the baseline and expect to keep your job anywhere in major college athletics. And then if you go below it for too often, you can't let that happen very far. You probably deserve to be fired and there needs to be a change. That's just how it is. So South Carolina, through a lot of hard work from a lot of good coaches, administrators, hardworking players, all that good stuff, this century has raised its baseline standard in those three sports. The baseline standard, not national championship in baseball, not 11 wins in football, certainly not Final Four in men's basketball, the baseline. And you go through it. I think the baseline in football is get to a bowl every year. Not that that should make everyone happy, but the years Carolina may not be all that great, but still makes it to a bowl, has a winning season. People aren't, you go 7-6 over and over and over again, people are going to get sick of it and you're probably going to be out. But people take that a whole lot less hard than the season ending in the end of November. Because this program, more often than not, under Spurrier, and then for a while under Muschamp and then Beamer, and there's more losing seasons now than there used to be, but normally South Carolina's in a bowl game. That's a reasonable baseline expectation for this program. Not 4-8. And certainly not the worst SEC record in football that this program has had in a season where the same coach coached from start to finish since 1999. So this century. Now they were 1-7 in the SEC in 15. But Spurrier and Sean Elliott, I mean, there's a coaching change that year.
Yeah.
You know, is 2-8 worse than 1-7? It's two wins versus one. Muschamp Bobo's last team. I mean, Muschamp was 2-5 when he got fired in the SEC. So, you know, to me, that baseline has not been met 2 out of 3 years. And so in football, what do we define as cyclical? To me, cyclical would be, well, some years you're going to meet your baseline standard. There may be the occasional really down year, but most years you should be cycling up from it, bubbling up from it. And then, you know, you'll have a 10-11 win year or maybe get a special group of players that sticks for a while and you're rolling, right? Right, Phil?
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, that is the most.
If it's going to be the baseline, then that's your starting point, right? Yeah. Dipping down below that is dangerous. Yeah,
that's the most fair assessment I can give. I think that in men's basketball, and Krieger said 2 out of 5 March Madness, that's not the baseline, right? No. not because it's based on, you know, what's actually happened. I think the baseline that was established under Frank Martin was be competitive in the SEC.
See, that's what all of this conversation goes to for me, at least where my mind frames it, JC, is are you putting a competitive product on the field? And football, we could answer that even though the results sucked last year and we're all ready to flush it and put that behind us and move forward. It was competitive, even though it, you know, was hamstringing itself at times on one side of the ball.
Oh, in football, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The problem with what's happened over the past couple of seasons now in basketball and what we saw on the baseball diamond last year is those teams were not competitive. Those teams started from not an even plane, right? It was not an even playing field. These teams just were not anywhere close to what the league standard minimum is, right? There is a baseline in the league that South Carolina now in one revenue sport and in one traditional powerhouse sport have not even met a median standard, right? I mean, it's not competitive. So when we talk about it, I can understand how, yes, results could be cyclical, but competition and whether or not the product itself is competitive with the standard of the league should not be. That's inexcusable.
Yeah, I'm with you there, you know, and the competitiveness is an issue. I think last year's basketball team actually was way more competitive than this year's team. So it's gotten worse. You know, the record certainly isn't competitive. And I think this too, it's like the, you know, with Beamer, 3 out of 5 years, he's met or surpassed the baseline standard. You know, and we'll see, you know, he needs to be 4 of 6, 5 of 7, 7 of 9, to where everybody's looking back in 5 years going, yeah, you know, Beamer is outside of Joe Morrison and Steve Spurrier and Lou Holtz. Beamer is the only coach that's gotten a 6 year around here. And the rest of them all had a lot more impressive seasons overall than what Beamer had in 2024. So South Carolina's doing something atypical and kind of sticking with it with him. And I don't blame him, man. It's fine. We talked about the pros and cons of that. And I think Beamer made some good hires and he set himself up to have another rebound. You know, he's like a lot of coaches that are starting out and needs to be more consistent. But if football can kind of go through the, as he mentioned himself, the trying times and then bounce back and it leads to something even better, I don't know of anybody that wouldn't take that.
Yeah.
You know, Lamont Paris has had one way above baseline standard year. And then now is in the middle of his third that they just don't register at all, which is poisonous if you're trying to build a program that is as far behind as the Gamecock men's basketball program, which is further behind historically than baseball or football. Yeah. But Frank Martin in that sport to me, because he did it over, you know, all right, so let's talk about it. From 2015-16, actually, I'll give him his second year, although the record wasn't that great. His second year, Carolina won 2 SEC tournament games before being upset. They beat Ole Miss and then Arkansas and then got beat by a good Tennessee team. And then that team lost 20 games, 14 and 20, but they started being competitive. The next year, they were 17 and 16 and won a game or two. And then the next year, they had the NIT situation or the NCAA situation. They won 24 games, then they won 26. Then they slipped back to about 7-11. They're still competitive. Then there's that weird team that went 11-7 in the league, but was below 500 overall because they got off to a terrible start. And then you had what I like to call the Cousinard years, you know, that year. Then the pandemic year, they weren't that good, but programs like Kentucky and Duke and North Carolina were terrible that year.
Right.
I mean, the Louisville, I mean, they pandemic year was tough on a lot of basketball teams. It's tougher on basketball than football, I think. And then they rebounded his final year where it was kind of known it was NCAA or bust. They did not make the NCAA tournament. Still won 18 games. Still did not have a losing regular season record in the SEC. Still were very competitive in the league. So I think that – and I said this when they fired him. I was like, well, what you're doing is here's what's going to happen with the new hire, with Lamont Paris. It's either going to be a situation where – you hired a guy that can get it to that next level, that can get over the hump, or it's going to go backward big time. And I think that year two, we thought, well, Lamont can take it to that next level. Look at what he's done. There's going to be, you know, now that they've done this, they'll have better players. Lamont Paris is the only coach in year two to take South Carolina to the NCAA tournament. Dave Odom made it in year three, which made no sense because Dave Odom had a pretty good team his first couple of years, roster-wise. But look, so, you know, now, though, it's clearly regressed to below the minimum standard. Baseball, South Carolina has let go of two coaches that were, in my opinion, just more years than not. I mean, Kingston had some ugly years, right? more years than not, just met the baseline standard. You know, Coach Holbrook, 3 out of 5 years in the tournament, hosted 2 super regionals. Made it to the Supers twice, hosted a regional twice. But then he just had 2 seasons where the team just wasn't there and he didn't make it. And so that was, he only lasted 5 years. Kingston lasted longer. Kingston's last 2 teams, though, were super regional and regional. And then Maneri comes in and the bottom falls out to 6-24. And so there's that part of it. So I can't say that any of the teams right now, based on performance and record, and hopefully it changes in football. Hell, I might be sad if Carolina got hot in men's basketball and there was some hope. And I never want the Gamecocks to lose.
No.
And I think there's hope in football. We just have to wait and see on that. But, you know, I don't think that we're in a period now where you can say, oh, it's, you know, like, and like I said, I'm not criticizing Tanner for saying this, because I think cyclical means you bounce back and forth between your minimum and your floor and your ceiling. You can't go below the floor or something's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, something's wrong. And, you know, I think there's probably some decisions that have been made within the different programs that have directly resulted in this, and most of it has to do with personnel, either coaching or player. You know, personnel is everything in the sport and sports. So I do think that, like, you know, cyclical, you can expect most SEC college athletics programs to be cyclical. I just don't think that right now it is. I think this is a bottoming out. Mm-hmm. It's concerning. So anyway, ITG chat box, Phil, we're gonna see what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
Bobby said, Craig said, football's turned it around this season, by God. Bobby said, is this one of those fire Tanner pastimes? Jimmy said, he did a good job with Shane Beamer, but the other two were bad hires. Bobby does mention this, and this is off topic, but there's a meme about this out there. I thought I would have to deal with quicksand more as an adult than I have to.
Right.
Yeah.
If you think about it, we all do. That's right. Yeah. I mean, you would assume that it's just everywhere waiting on you to stumble into.
Jimmy says, oh, I'd fire Lamont Paris right now, but Maneri's got to do something this season. Do you fire him too? We've been the laughing stock of sports for too long now. Yeah. It hadn't been that long, but it's been too long.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
I mean, back-to-back bad seasons for baseball and men's basketball. You got to.
Yeah. One of those things is more palatable than the other. And unfortunately, the revenue sport is the one that's more palatable to be not so good in. And baseball is one that we all hold in high regard because there's such a rich tradition here in South Carolina.
Yeah.
There is no excuse for being poor in baseball in this part of the country.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Bobby says, I don't know if there's ever been a true baseline around, as most have had so much variation. See, there really hadn't been, though, in football. I mean, you know, lately there's been some 4 and 8s hung up there and things like that. But most years, statistically, South Carolina's in a bowl game and with a winning season. Not always 8, 9, 10 wins, but and then in men's basketball for about 5, 6 years, and then you go back to Dave Odom. I don't know that he was competitive in the SEC, but he made the postseason. I mean, basketball's been the one where normally it's like bottom third of the league. If you look at the big picture since they've been in the SEC, it ranges from bottom third of the SEC, and then every now and then South Carolina will just have like a special crazy good year, and then it goes right back. But I do think the baseline standard with Frank Martin over time was established. There's no reason why you can't be competitive in the SEC. People will say, well, other teams went out and got better. Well, why didn't you get better? Why didn't you make the moves and the decisions necessary? Why are you just standing put? Yeah, they can't use the league as an excuse.
No.
Especially when there's 14 teams that make the dang NCAA tournament. Well, what are they doing that you're not? So
yeah. Yeah, somebody had to be the 2 teams that didn't make it, but why didn't you make it? And the reason you didn't make it wasn't because, well, they weren't just going to put 15 teams in there. It's because the two teams at the bottom last year were bad, bad.
Yeah, no doubt. Jimmy says fans got to be better. We're happy with losing. I don't think that's the case. I don't think anybody's happy with losing. I think that fans are, you know, Gamecock fans in general support their team and their players. And, you know, I think that's the case with most fan bases. I think people on the internet get a skewed kind of idea about how fan bases are not tolerating this. When fan bases as a whole have a impact on something, i.e. when Tennessee fans went after Schiano because they didn't like that hire, and then they could add Mike Leach, and they ended up screwing themselves out of that and ended up with Jeremy Pruitt. So how did that work out? When those things happen, that's embarrassing. That's called embarrassing, Jimmy. That's not called not tolerating winning and losing. Now, there are some places where the boosters, and most of the time these boosters hurt their programs more than they help, where they're just quick to fire, you know. It was a miracle Billy Napier got another year at Florida. Because look how many times they – Florida's not – there's a shell of what it used to be. Tennessee, you got to give Josh Heupel a lot of credit. Now they're talking about, you know, some of their fans want to fire him because he went 8-5. But I don't think it has any – I mean, you know, the fans too, I mean – Gamecock fans still show up in football, but baseball crowds are not what they were. And the basketball, yeah, obviously basketball's getting pretty empty. Lance says it stunk in men's sports for too long. Yep. Jimmy said, if the school up the road can, we don't have an excuse. Clemson, yeah. Now, Clemson stuck with Brunell for a long, long time when their fans wanted him to go. But it kind of makes up for it when you're winning national championships in football.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's like, hey, look over here. Look over here.
But Brad Brunell's always been a really good coach. He's just not that exciting, but he's kind of figured out a recruiting formula to get the players in there. And, you know, the ACC is too big of a conference now to be as tough as it once was. It's not the bloodbath it once was. I'm not saying that's the reason Clemson basketball is good. He's a heck of a coach and very good, but you know, that it turned for him, and now what are they, 3-4 straight NCAA tournaments? That's Clemson basketball is not exactly a historical juggernaut. But and Jimmy says Frank was 100 times better than Lamont Paris. I mean, well, you can look at their two resumes and say that. I mean, what's going on at UMass now notwithstanding? And I think it's gotten harder in the NIL era for Coach Martin. With where he's at, you know. TD Null says Holbrook had the hardest job ever. He was the man following the man. That is hard to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think Chad got a fair shake. I wish he was still here. You know, I think a lot of people maybe in hindsight look back and would have thought that. Jimmy said this should be Paul Maneri's winner go home year. I'm not the baseline standard in baseball is higher,
right?
It's make the NCAA tournament. I never got to that part of what I was going to say. Baseball is you're in the NCAA tournament. When South Carolina, it's even before like Tanner got to Carolina, and when they went from the Metro to the SEC, very first year NCAA tournament. You should not be allowed to have like two times missing the tournament in a row in this sport. Do I think other programs have gotten better in baseball and made the right moves? And, you know, Carolina's not the second best program behind LSU in the league anymore. No, I think that there's a lot of good programs. Clearly with Texas coming into the league, it changes things just automatically with that. However, there's no when Auburn and Kentucky and Alabama and, you know, Florida didn't even care. Florida's always been capable in baseball. They didn't care about baseball until O'Connell, you know, until O'Sullivan got there. You know, I just think that South Carolina, you know, in baseball, that's a sport that's been really good for a long time. And you're right, Phil. In the South, there's no excuse to not be good. So, yeah, you should be in the NCAA. That's the baseline expectation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, postseason. So, yeah, right. You know,
football is bowl game. Men's basketball, to me, is be competitive in the SEC. You know, don't get swallowed up by your conference, your own conference. And maybe it needs to be a little – I mean, maybe it's lower or higher. I don't know. I just know it's not being met, and the record shows that. In baseball, you need to be in the daggum tournament.
Yeah, every year. I mean, nobody's saying you got to host all the way through the Supers, but you need to be in a regional.
Jimmy said, I got you on the Josh Schertz bandwagon. That's the St. Louis coach. He's now 25-1. I love the guy. I mean, I think, honestly, Jimmy, I read through a bunch of top mid-major coaches lists over the weekend. South Carolina's not going to get that guy. That guy's going to be able to write his ticket to a better job, which just about all of them in the power level are. But Jimmy won't spend a bunch of money in men's basketball. I think that's what it's going to have to take.
Yeah.
The question is, in an era of finite resources and with a program that's not well supported, you know, it's fourth out of four as far as having just got folks around that love men's basketball. One, I mean, you know, that's happened over time because of mismanagement and things like that. So how are you going to put that together would be my question. I don't, you know, but yeah, unfortunately the secret's out with that guy, which is, you know, like, yeah, it's just not
going to be able to hide that for long.
Yeah. So anyway, it's Tuesday. That means Taco Tuesday at D's Wings. We love D's Wings. Everybody loves D's Wings. Can't wait. I always get hungry talking about it too. We're getting lunch today from a place called Miller's Ale House. They have a you can order this thing called 35 fried shrimp.
35 fried shrimp.
This is what it's called.
Let's
comes
go
with fries or a baked potato. 35. One time I counted, I was like, if I were a real Karen, you know, I'd count them up. If I had 33, I'd call and send a strongly worded email. Or
that's right.
Leave a nasty voicemail. So,
why not 36?
Yeah. Why not 38?
I mean,
who came up with 35?
Like, I would put 36 in every box.
It's not that expensive.
Avoid the strongly worded. Like, well, it's one more shrimp.
Most of the stuff there's high. Yeah, pretty high too, like price wise. But it's not. It's reasonable. Reasonable 35 fried shrimp.
Where do these shrimps come from? They're Vietnam shrimps?
Vietnam's shrimps. Oh, anyway. But hey, D's Wings, I think, has shrimp. They have some Low Country Bowl Buford stews.
Yeah, yeah, they do some stuff.
They got some shrimp out of D's. I think they have buffalo shrimp out of D's too. I think we got that as an appetizer last time. So check out D's Wings. Proud sponsor of the show and the morning show. Going to be back with a quick segment that hit the top of the hour. Going to talk a little Nitro Tuggle. Also, going to ask more questions of the ITG chat box about the starting offensive line for this coming season. Going to talk for 40 minutes and preview tonight's basketball game. Not.
How about new?
How about new?
How about new?
also want to ask anybody if they've been to the new ballpark in Spartanburg where the Gamecock baseball teams play tonight. Get your take on the game tonight. Wofford is 3-0. I looked at it and I said, well, but they swept Mercyhurst. So, Phil, find out where Mercyhurst is, because I didn't have time to do it this morning when I was doing the newsletters. All right. Find out where Mercyhurst is, and we'll talk about all that and keep firing your questions in. Some of you are holding back for Wide Open Wednesday, I can tell. We'll be right back on the show.
Jeffrey's got space and a touchdown. Can you believe it? Touchdown! He caught it in traffic. Scores! Touchdown, South Carolina!
If your golf game needs a little help, McKellar Enterprises is one click away. Meredith Taylor, a former Gamecock golfer, fields clients from all across the country. Golfers of every level are enrolling in her well-rounded golf camps. They're improving their game through virtual and on-course lessons. And now, many are a part of the membership program that gives you multiple monthly coaching options to get better. Are you improving for fun? Don't want to hold the group back any longer? Visit McKellarEnterprises.org today and go Gamecocks.
Test ride at Electric Bikes of Charleston today. Road trip ready. Ride comfortably. Forget road fatigue. The Velotric Fold 1 Plus features our exclusive Comfort Max frame design for an effortless, upright riding posture and a low step through. With an adjustable seat and stem, you'll be feeling great and ready for the next campsite adventure. Your back will thank you. Visit Electric Bikes of Charleston. Electric Bikes, Charleston.com.
New year, better floors. Now is the time. Refinish your hardwood floors with Recoat Revolution. Beautiful like new floors in just one day. No dust, affordable, and five stars. Give us a call in South Carolina, 803-397-1365. Or visit us at RecoatRevolution.com. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
And now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show, rolling on here. Quick little segment to end this first hour here, JC. I did found where Mercyhurst is.
Over All right.
There. It's in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Woo! Yeah. Oh! No wonder.
Yeah, it's a small private Catholic school in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Spartanburg's probably warm for them. They got their butts kicked by the Terriers, by the way. So that's who Wofford beat up on this past weekend. But a little bit Northern Kentucky's probably a little bit more formidable.
Yeah, I would think so.
I said this today. I noticed I was reading the game. Carolina hadn't played Wofford in baseball since 2017.
Yeah,
I didn't know it had been that long. Usually, the Gamecocks schedule Wofford in sports like pretty frequently. They play men's basketball frequently. They play, I thought they played in baseball more than they played. I don't think they have softball and other sports, football every now and then. So, anywho, first pitch is tonight at 5:30. You're 5:30 Eastern. That's on ESPN Plus, by the way. Not SEC Network Plus. There is a difference. I don't know because I got the ESPN package. It just comes up for me on the app. So anyway, talking about cyclical expectations and all that good stuff. So Craiger said that a promo blows out his eardrums. I don't know. I'm sensitive to things that blow out my eardrums as well, Craig. So I'd have to go back and review that. I don't know. I don't know which one does. Maybe it's that point. Sound or whatever. So Blake says we may not have a basketball team, but golly, we have a hockey team that won the SEC again. That cock hockey is on a roll.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering, like, are there any conferences around here that you can, you know, kind of align yourself with to make this not just a club hockey team?
Gamecocks going to the Big Ten hockey.
I mean, come on, let's go.
Let's join the Big Ten in hockey.
Talk about culture shock. I'm ready for it. I would love to see that.
That would be crazy. There are everybody. Okay, so hey, guess what? Notre Dame's in a conference in the Big Ten for ice hockey. It's Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Minnesota, and Notre Dame. Those are the Big Ten hockey schools. They're all pretty good, too.
I would think so.
Yeah, they're all hockey, pretty big deal. Hockey's bigger than baseball at some of these schools.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's Gamecocks. I don't think the Gamecocks club team's ready to handle that just yet. But they are very good at beating Georgia and Clemson and schools around here in club hockey. And then Craig goes, equestrian in hockey than it is. Hey, equestrians, fired up.
Yeah, man.
I'm not joking around when I talk about, you know, about the questions I have about that sport. And the now I'll tell you, that was a heck of a the hire they made for equestrian was good. Equestrian, I think South Carolina has won a national championship in equestrian before, but one of the assistants off those good squads was at SMU winning national championships. And so they hire her back, and she immediately has the Gamecocks in nationals contention. So,
yeah,
rebuild the proud program out there of equestrian.
We'll see. Yeah, I like that. You know, I'm down for sports. You know, like, you know, Olympic sports. Go equestrian is an Olympic sport, but you know, I think I don't know. I feel like we're being force fed lacrosse, JC, and I'm not here for that. No, I'm not. I don't like it. I mean,
no, sir. Don't like it.
No. I mean, you want to play with sticks and hit things into a goal. Do it on skates, damn it. On ice. How about that? That's what we should do. This lacrosse crap running around on a field and you're not kicking anything.
It's a
game on a field where you don't kick anything.
It's a growing sport, though.
I know. I can't stand it.
Greenville is full of lacrosse.
I know. It's driving me insane. Like I don't know why we would overtake soccer around here, because that was the big growing sport in Greenville for a long time. But now, you know, you want to run around with sticks and hit people. Well, you know, put another layer of skill on it and do it on ice.
Up the game.
That's right. Yeah.
Up the game.
Do it on ice.
So anyway, that's kind of crazy, but lacrosse. But South Carolina has not added lacrosse, though. Clemson did. They had a women's lacrosse. Well, for Title IX purposes, lacrosse is actually a good sport to add because the roster sizes are bigger. So if you're looking to kind of counterbalance football, which for some reason you have to do.
Whatever. Okay, so I would support women's lacrosse if we could get men's hockey out of it. I don't care about competition or anything. I know we'd support the hell out of a hockey team.
I'd go. I've actually never been to a hockey game.
Oh, really?
Ice hockey in my life.
Oh, you're missing out, dude. It's fun.
So
it is really fun at any level. Like, yeah, even the minors are fun.
Yeah, but I've heard it's a game you got to watch in person.
It's really a lot easier in person than it is on the TV, just because it's that frenetic pace, you know, so it's all over the place. But yeah. Oh man, yeah,
great. I'm worried I'll be hooked, you know, and then I'll be one of these dudes going to
minor
league hockey games and stuff, and drinking $10 beers. Blake says Nashville Predator games are awesome. I was about to go to a Preds game right before I moved from Nashville in 2015. This is a girl I was kind of dating, and we never linked up on the dates, and I ended up leaving town. I don't even think I told her I left.
Yeah, so I'm sure she's figured it out by now.
No, we're friends. Like, I called her up after I left. It's like, sorry.
I'm out.
We're friends. We've hung out since. I'm friends with her family. She's married now. Really good person. But I was supposed to go to a Preds game. I've been downtown when the Predators are playing, and they got lots of good fans. But Blackhawks are very popular here, and I've got a couple of good friends that love the Blackhawks. Nets talking to me about this. We'll go at some point. United Center. and watch it. So Chicago State made the news last night. I was talking about how the don't become Chicago State basketball. They called a timeout with none, which ended up forcing the game into overtime. Like the Fab Five that year against North Carolina. Oh, Chris Webber.
Funny.
Anyway, check out Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, across the World Wide Web, or the brick and mortar store, Village at Sand Hill, or out in Lexington. They're open today. Got some really cool stuff I've seen on their social media at Gamecock Traditions. Please follow them. Really good people, proud supporters of the shows here inside the Gamecocks and all we do. Home of the original beat sticker as well, which I no longer think carries bad luck for the Gamecocks. In fact, I embrace the beat sticker, and it's not because they're sponsors. It's just because one day I woke up and thought it was childish to think they were bad luck.
There are better superstitions out there than just
stickers. They also used to say jewelry warehouse instead of Gamecock. Right. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the jewelry warehouse. Maybe that's what got me off my superstition.
They've been cleansed.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be right back. Second hour of the show. We're going to talk a little Nitro Tuggle, a little offensive line. Maybe talk a little bit about hope. With some hope around here. We'll be right back. Second hour of the show after this.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture presents our coverage of South Carolina baseball and softball. Visit palmcasual.com today. Make your outdoor space the best it can be. Go Gamecocks! New year, better floors. Now is the time. Refinish your hardwood floors with Recoat Revolution. Beautiful like new floors in just one day. No dust, affordable, and five stars. Give us a call in South Carolina, 803-397-1365. Or visit us at RecoatRevolution.com. Go Gamecocks!
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via GamecockTraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost five decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our four locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia. We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality. Included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
Wanted the Nitro Toggle breakdowns, and I turned on the Southern Cal game, and the first thing that I notice is the respect that he is getting from the USC defense right from the beginning of the game. And I tell you, he still had almost 100 yards, but Southern Cal came within this game going, we ain't gonna let Nitro Toggle beat us. He is, and just what? Look, boom and boom. Right from the get-go. I mean, look, they don't care about anything else. Besides, Nitro Tuggle is not going to beat us this game. The respect that he gained right away. I will say this, too. The more that I have watched this film and this breakdown of this game, he's a physical wide receiver. He will get out there and block, and it's on display right here. This is not a block, but he catches this little wide receiver screen right here and just running through arm tackles, keeping his balance, and fighting for extra yards, as you see right here. Things you love to see. Let's go back and watch it one more time. He catches it. The ball's not... It's not a terrible throw, but it's not great. It's on his back hip, you know, and he's trying to get upfield, so he's going the opposite way to catch it, and he's got to flip his hips to get turned back around. He makes a man miss and runs through an arm tackle, keeps his balance, runs through another arm tackle down here, and fights for a few more yards. I'm telling you what, I'm going to have a lot of fun breaking him down. A lot of you guys have wanted the Nitro Toggle breakdowns.
All right.
I turned on the Southern Cal game.
That was Deputy Smitty about Nitro Toggle. And so I watched that. I dug in a little bit, talked a little bit about it on coffee this morning, but wanted to kind of bring it up again. I went and watched him, and, you know, the first player, Phil, he reminds me of on that play Smitty broke down. And thanks to Deputy Smitty, please go call, you know, follow him. Mm-hmm. All of his social media. Smitty Sports Network is his sports YouTube channel. So go give that a good subscribe, like. It won't cost you a penny, but it'll get his subscriber count up and his view count up. He does a great job, and he can explain that better than I could. He reminds me of Juice Wells. As far as that play and plays like it and being physical – like Juice, you know, people are going to roll their eyes when you talk about Juice being a physical player, you know, because he, you know, he wasn't. And I'm talking about the Juice Wells that played at South Carolina and before that played at James Madison, but not the one that played at Ole Miss. And those are two different Juice Wells. But Juice had an ability to be almost deceptively elusive after the catch. Think about the first down play against Clemson to seal the game.
That's the one that first came to mind, right? Because he had to break the tackle to get out of that to get the yards.
A lot of plays like that, deceptively elusive, and then can run through arms, strong enough physically to run through arm tackles, and did fight for extra yardage, strong in his lower body, that kind of thing. I think Nitro, you know, if I had a criticism of Juice in his prime, I mean, he was a really good receiver. If I had a criticism of him, it would have been he's a little stiff as an athlete. You know, he ran 4.63 at the combine. That's probably a little faster than that, but fast enough. I mean, gets open deep. You're not catching Juice Wells. Juice also could go up and high point the ball. Very naturally gifted at catching the ball down the field as well. But Nitro, that's who he kind of reminds me of. I don't know what he would run in the 40. Blake mentions in the chat box, Shy Smith. Keep in mind, though, Shy Smith's 5'10". You know, Nitro Tuggle's 6'1". So yeah. Nitro's got 3 inches on him and is bigger physically than Shy. Shy is elusive, and Shy is blinding fast. And Shy also could go up and high point the football. But, you know, I like Nitro Tuggle. I think that, you know, based on the feedback that we got from him when he was considering Carolina from a contact to Georgia and the folks at Purdue, you know, and I honestly, you know, Smitty, Deputy Smitty showed on the film that there were some teams, Southern Cal included, that were just like, don't let Nitro Tuggle beat you. so he's getting bracketed and everything else. Purdue just wasn't very good on offense. So I guess I say all that to say this, you know, one of the big things this spring, and I talked about it today, is identifying those playmakers, Phil, at the wide receiver position. There are a lot of options. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so, and you can't play all, you can't play 12 of them. You know, you got some are going to have to play before others. And, you know, so it's one of those things where it's one of those keys to the spring is who's going to be the guy. I mean, I think Nick Harbor obviously is a safe bet to be out there. After that, you know, Jaden Sellers, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely. Donovan Murph is a guy, you know, most likely. Nitro Tuggle, Jaden Gibson coming in from the portal. There's Charlie Mulele also.
Charlie Mulele.
Jay Black. And then guys like Jordan Gitteron. Jordan Gitteron's a guy I'm not ruling out because of his.
No, any of those freshmen from last year, yeah, it's still guys to keep an eye on.
Lex Cyrus can fly. I mean, they've got it. And, you know, and then you got a new system coming in, going as well. But I was a little more encouraged after seeing that breakdown, and then that inspired me to go dig into it a little more on my own about Nitro not being, you know, being more than just a great football name.
Mm.
All name team with
all Nitro name Tuggle. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad Smitty said that, because that's true. You know, the ability sometimes with young receivers, this happened at South Carolina, right, really 2 years in a row. Young receivers don't always, and some receivers don't do this at all. They're not always able to break that arm tackle, right? They get tackled pretty easily. Think about Brian Rowe, on the little wheelie route they ran at Ole Miss this year. And he gets tripped up. South Carolina, I swear to God, led the country in 9 yard gains. I think it was second and 10, and he got exactly 9. And I don't think they got stuffed, but, if he doesn't get tripped up by the back of his cleat there, he's gone. Right. And it's so helpful when you have receivers that are fit, that are good enough physically. When you say physical, that doesn't necessarily mean bodying up a guy or being
somebody over,
devastating blocker, you know, that destroys like the Rams have, you know. it's about, can you break that tackle? And I think it's the case with anybody with a ball in his hands. I mean, it's very helpful. It's frustrating for offensive linemen or anybody blocking, when a hole opens and then it closes. And you're like, man, if the ball carrier was just a little bit better or did a little bit more on his own, that's not a 4 yard gain. That's a 14 yard gain or more. And so that's a, you know, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see some tunnel screens, bubble screens, wide receiver screens in this offense. I think you're about to see more than maybe you have. So, you know, from where I stand, that was a pretty good breakdown. And I think my anticipation and looking forward to-ness of seeing Nitro Tuggle in a Gamecock uniform this year went up. And I think it may be a more significant pickup than just a good name and a four-star guy. Another four-star guy joining that room, just based on that and kind of doing it. You know, Blake mentioned Shy Smith. Shy Smith's one of my favorite all-time players. I mean, I think I was the only one that said Shy was, because it was Shy and Ortre Smith were the top two players in the state when they came out. I guess it was 2017 class. And both went to Carolina, so it wasn't like it was a Carolina thing. But I thought Shy was better. I thought Shy is one of those smaller receivers that could also go up and get it, and the knack for jumping up in traffic and coming down with the ball And he showed that time and time again at South Carolina. Was really good, really good player. And, you know, Ortrey, had he not gotten hurt, was going to be good too. Their first year, I think both of them had around 30 catches in 17. I mean, they played to play a lot because Debo was out. But, you know, Shy to me, you know, if they can get production from Tuggle like they got out of Shy Smith, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape this coming year. Passing game. Krager asked what happened to Juice Wells at Ole Miss that made them say he didn't want it. Where's the disconnect? He didn't get unathletic all of a sudden. He did look a step slow when he was playing for them. There were two things I was told at Ole Miss. First thing was, Mike Morgan mentioned this. Somebody told him that the guy just in big situations, he just didn't come through. And I was like, that's rare because at South Carolina, even the one play he made an impact, or one drive he made an impact in 2023, that was a scoring drive. And he housed a screen at Georgia on 3rd and 14. He housed a screen pass. And then we never saw him again. Which is very damaging to that team, by the way, because I believe, you know, that team was able to, even with offensive line issues, they were able to manufacture some offense.
Right.
But when it got to the point where Xavier Leggett was really your only receiving, it was Xavier Leggett and then either Trey Knox or Josh Simon at tight end. And that was it. If you'd have added Juice Wells to that mix and then you had Spencer Rattler and you dialed up some timing stuff and kind of took the game out of the offensive line's hands and then you were kind of sneaky with more, I think that team could have scored more points. Because Juice at his best was legit.
A real threat, a weapon, right?
And we saw it in Georgia on that first drive. I mean, it was Xavier. They were, there's Juice. Boom. I mean, you know. But when it's an injured Amarian Brown that's 5'8 over there, you're depending on Omega Blake as a true freshman. Omega ended up being pretty good, but that's tough. Or tight ends, that's a little bit different, ball game. But Juice made an impact. As far as Ole Miss goes, I don't know why. Maybe more competition, and he just didn't meet the moment. But he just was not the same. And, you know, sometimes shows you the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So, I don't know if the foot may have been bothering him, but you know that doesn't make much sense either because they played at Wake Forest. Ole Miss did that year, and Juice had a huge game.
Yeah,
it's just you know, whatever. TD Null says, I have a strong feeling Stone Furry will make some noise in spring and fall camp because it's like a good football player like his dad. Helps his dad is who he is for development. I like Stone as a player. I like Jackson Rep too, who's there, who came in last year from, was it Christ Church? But I like Stone. I think Stone's a heck of a football player. Don't count him out. Sequel Patterson comes in this summer too. There's a lot of options there. Just who's going to rise to the top, you know, outside of Nick Harbor. And my point on coffee this morning, too, for those that didn't get it, and I encourage everybody to go back and listen. And I talked about the offensive line. I talked about all the, like, five keys to spring practice on offense was the topic du jour. I don't think Nick Harbor is going to be enough for this passing game. Going off what Kendall Briles historically has done, going off the number of plays they're going to run, all that good stuff, Phil. I just don't think that you can go, well, Nick Harbor will take care of everything. It's not that, and I think he's going to have a really good year and get drafted pretty high. I think you're going to need more than that. And the good news is there's a lot of different options. The question is who. You know, because you can make a case for just about everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get into a situation where you're running, you know, wide receivers in and out every other play.
Yeah, nobody can get more than that. I mean, I think Donovan Murph may not be a guy that people talk about, but he's going to quietly make a next step and be quite good. You know, there's a guy like Mazio Bennett who did not have a great year.
No.
Mm-mm. But had a good year his first year. So does he rebound? You know, and I was surprised at what happened. Mazio this year. But will a new offense that runs more plays, thus gets more opportunity, will that get him going? Mm-hmm. That's another question, you know.
You have to feel like he thinks there's opportunity there because he stayed.
Did not get in the portal.
Right. Did not run off to the portal, even though he probably could have gotten a pretty decent price elsewhere.
Not like he's not productive receiver in the SEC. So
right.
But he stuck it out. We'll see what happens with him. But yeah, there's a lot of guys. By the way, I did mention Coffee. I did want to say, I talked a little about tight end usage, and I was going through everybody, and I did not mention Maurice Brown. I realized that when I got off.
Oh, JB's going to be mad at you.
Well, I've been talking about him. I've been talking about him in other things. I wanted to make sure I got to Mike Tyler and Max Drag and the new guy, the guys we don't talk about, but it didn't happen. TD Nelson says Mazio and Harbor have the most experience, and I hope he has a great year. Do you think Jaden passed him throughout the year, though? Jaden Sellers, he passed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Jaden Sellers, you look at his production, is most by far the last half of the year, the most productive receiver.
Yeah, it's like once he started using him, his opportunities were, his snap count just went through the roof compared to not being on the field.
Yeah, the games he played it, because if I'm not mistaken, he didn't travel to Ole Miss. He got sick or something. But Jaden Sellers ended up, and you think about too, like the moment, Bruin's going to love this, because Bruin was telling all of us this in the chat box when South Florence was on their way to the state title game.
Right.
State title. You know, he was telling us all about Jaden Pup. And we were like, oh, yeah, that's nice. You know, I knew Jaden could be pretty good. Did I expect it that soon? No.
No, yeah.
But here's what I love about it. Like, think about the clutch gene that he has, Phil. Like, it's hard to score on the – somebody talked about Shai Smith. I thought Shai Smith had a clutch gene. Shai Smith, from his freshman year, you remember the long pass he caught for the touchdown at Texas A&M? And then you remember the bowl game when Carolina needed it. He and Bentley connected on a big one. I remember the touchdown pass in 18 he caught from Helinski, or 19 he caught from Helinski. In 2020, Carolina had no other wide receivers. Shy was money, though. He got one up and got a bunch of, had a lot of crazy catches that year. So, you know, he had a clutch gene. Jaden Sellers, to me, has a clutch gene as well. I mean, it's hard, no matter who you are, to house a bubble screen on the first play of a game, no matter who you are playing. Usually that first play, you're kind of feeling it out. You know, it takes a certain mindset to go out there and be like, I'm scoring. See ya.
Yeah, right. I'm out here. Bye.
Think about the 4th and 12 pass that he caught from his brother. You know, if you weren't ready for prime time and you're a true freshman out there, I don't care if your brother's thrown it to you or not, you're dropping that pass.
Yeah.
Although he was wide open. Lenore's did a great job finding against Bama. But he was very productive over and over and over again. And that's, you know, in a year where the passing offense was not all that consistent as far as number of attempts and things like that, Phil. To have that consistency as a receiver in that situation and only play for half a year was impressive. So, to answer your question, TD, yes, Jaden did pass him. Jay Frew says we have a good young group of receivers. Yep. I tell you, it's going to be good. Bruin says Pup literally won us the game versus Westside his senior year for the state. Offense and defense for 2 drives, something he had never played before. We had no defensive backs to stay with the West Side receivers, and Cutter was just throwing. Yeah, he's a football player. That's why I'm excited about Jazavian Currents, because he's a those guys in high school, they're pretty good. Cutter was just throwing it up for grabs, and receivers were gone. We put Pup on to stay with him, and he actually defended passes. Yeah, he's a good football player, like his brother.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a natural connection. I'm not sure Lenoris was given the opportunity. Really, Phil, in his first 2 years, other than Josh Simon, has Lenoris Sellers really had the opportunity for one reason or another to develop chemistry with a go-to receiver? Because in 2024, the issue was guys were in and out of the lineup with injuries, right?
Yeah.
And then last year, there were games they just Dukes weren't going to throw it all that much.
Just were going to run the ball, right? Yeah. No, there's not much opportunity to develop, I think, especially when you're looking at last year. And what arguably was a year where he really needed that with all the new freshman talent that had come in, right? I mean, this team would be better off now if he had been able to develop that rapport with other guys, you know, with guys other than, you know, Nick Harbor. But it was great that he was able to develop that. I think that volume this year is going to be able to speed that process up just because we know the tempo is going to be fast enough. They're running a lot of plays a game. So that should develop fairly quickly. And I mean, there haven't been many departures from the wide receiver room, JC. So these guys have been there and I'm sure they're working with each other and catching passes from Lenoris, even though they might not be wearing pads or anything. But if you want to be good, you're going to practice more than your allotted time. So
Absolutely.
I'm expecting it. I'm glad you brought up Murph. Cause I think like that kid's got a legitimate, like, every down kind of possession type receiver, you know, game to him that we were able to see little flashes of, I think, last year. There's a reason why he was the first one we saw on the field. And he's got, you know, the physical traits and the ability to really kind of shine. So looking forward to him.
Yeah, really sad. And he's got more to his game than maybe what he showed last year in limited opportunity. Good hands, good route runner, and a guy that's bigger, 196 pounds. Naturally, you know, strong kid. He's a guy that could break those tackles too. But really looking forward to seeing how he develops this year. In addition to all these other guys, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm not going to get married to any of my, because I really like all, I can sit there and probably make a case for every guy in the room at receiver. I mean, like DJ Black used to be a walk-on here, caught a bunch of balls at Limestone, coming back from UCF, caught 22 balls last year for the Knights. That dude's super duper fast, and he's 6'3". And he played it, he's Spartanburg County guy. He played at Chapman. So I'm like, I like him too. Charlie Mullaly, I can sit there and do an Irish voice of Charlie Mullaly, you know. But Charlie Mullaly, if you go watch his workout videos, this guy's out there running three cones. He looks quick. He's elusive. He's 6'1". I mean, he's a big. He's not a tiny little dude.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So that's the thing there. Blake says Murph has incredible hands. Been super excited for him since the Under Armour game when he mossed the defensive back with one hand on the sideline. Yeah. Donovan, if you get it near him, he's going to catch it. So as long as it's not crazy, but I think last year everyone was excited about the receiving core because you thought, well, you've got the four guys coming back, but then only really two of them. You know, we mentioned Mazio, and then Jared Brown. You didn't hear from him again until the end of the year. You could tell he hadn't been playing a whole lot when he fumbled the ball against Clemson.
Right.
That was a big play, too. I mean, that fumble was just – I mean, Clemson gave it back to him. It was just – God.
That was tough. I know.
So Brown and Mazio, but Jacobs was better than people thought, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And look, losing Brian Rowe and Vidrivas Jacobs, that's a combined like, something like 51 catches last year. That's not insignificant. I think they're both really good players. I think Jacobs will make plays at Miami, and I think Rowe will be good at UCLA. Mm-hmm. However, you know, you weren't going to keep all these guys, right? There's only one football, even a group that likes to compete, you know, and there were different reasons both of those guys left too, but we'll see what happens with this receiving core, but stock up, you know, in my mind, like not stock up, but a guy I'm a little more intrigued by than maybe I was when they got him is Nitro Tuggle. I think after watching that breakdown from Smitty, it's there. Craiger's having dreams about the safety position. We'll talk about that when we get back. Also want to get the chat box's thoughts on the offensive line for this year. If anybody wants has a question about baseball or basketball, we can answer that too. Rather answer questions about movies or equestrian. I'm the one with questions about equestrian. That miniature horse yesterday with Cocky threw me off.
Club hockey.
We need to get whoever's
I meant to incorporate that into. Yeah, who is in charge of cock hockey?
I don't know.
Well, we need. They need to be on the show.
Sorry, some Canuck.
A.
Let's just all about go Gamecocks, eh?
What brings you to the Soda City, eh?
Soda City.
Soda.
This is all about the boot. What are you doing about? Oh, hello. Canada. Oh, is the South Park Canada is my Canada.
Yeah, same. That's ever since then, I've not been able to think about Canada any differently.
Eh?
Hey.
I used to get into like Canadian Parliament videos, but then they had an election and it just disgusted me who they elected and why. And so I just quit watching. But it's funny because in Canada, it's not like Congress here where there's this decorum and you know, there's rules and stuff about when people can talk. They basically just get the prime minister in there. So it'd be like the president sitting in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And they just bitch at him, and it's all televised. And then they get to the guy from Quebec. Let's go get the PLFA.
Yelling at him in French. Is he mad or did he just ask him out on a date?
You don't know.
Just don't know, dude.
Russell says a co-worker of his grandson was cocky some years back. How tall is he, Russell?
Yeah, we've got a theory going.
I'm trying to average height of cocky.
Yeah. Size it up with this mini horse here.
Because I'm thinking about if they have one my height and the extra fat size plus size cocky. I'd look like the Hilltopper from Western Kentucky with a Gamecock head on it if I had the cocky outfit. Right now. I got to change that. But anyway, so we'll be right back. This is going to be the final segment coming up. We'll talk about speaking of big guys, the offensive line, right next after this year on the show.
New year, right? Let the procrastination begin. You've done it before. Join the gym. Go for a couple of weeks, and then it's over. So here's our solution. Bring the gym to you. Do it your way, on your time, in your home. Visit Charleston Fitness Equipment and start where you want to start. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Have a healthy new year. Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about IKEA. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe. If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia. We're serious about saving you money.
Today and every day, we celebrate our great state of South Carolina. This week, our hometown highlight takes us to the banks of Winya Bay, to beautiful Georgetown. Visit the Rice Museum the next time you stroll Front Street. We love you, Georgetown.
Hey, Georgetown, this is your Lowcountry lawyer and friend, Mason West at the West Law Firm. We love our folks in Georgetown, just like we do all across the state of South Carolina. And if you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt on the job, we're here to help. Call us at West Law Firm, 843-897-7525.
Sure look good. Look good and you know it. But you know it, don't it? Look good and you know it. Yeah. Look good and you know it, babe. Look good and you know it, babe.
And now, the show goes on.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a terrible Tuesday. We've gotten through this very well, I think, JC. We've handled it better than we did that Monday episode yesterday, which was like a total downer. So we picked things up today. Although we made it.
It was kind of a melancholy episode yesterday. Mm-hmm. I thought there has to be good things to talk about. I mean, the subject matter today has not been much better. We've had celebrity deaths. We've talked about last year's football season a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
The state of men's athletics at South Carolina. Mm-hmm. We brought up the pandemic year of 2020 in football, the end of the Muschamp era. We've talked about, Brian Rowe and Vandrevious Jacobs. We mentioned them today. Mm-hmm. Now we're about to talk about the offensive line.
Yet another. Somebody's got to do something good here for us to talk about results wise.
I actually think, I actually have this gut feeling that, you know, because it's my hometown of Spartanburg, right?
Right.
I think this is the day that the bats come alive, right?
But they need to wake up today.
I feel like Randy Quaid in Major League Two.
I mean, get onto their starter early, because like Matt Smith was saying, this guy's a middle reliever. Like he pitched innings last season in the 30s is their starter tonight. He's the best one they got. So if you get past him, then it's real thin on the Wofford sideline. They were in the Wofford thin, rather. Thin.
We thought the same thing about I almost said Western Kentucky, Northern Kentucky. But I think Connor Ciccoli, he pitched an inning against the Norris, but three strikeouts, dude.
Yeah, man.
He's a righty from Georgia Tech. That's good. So, I am. I am going to have to
go up out here, JC.
I'm going to end the show, man. We'll talk about the offensive line tomorrow.
Let's do some offensive line tomorrow. We'll work out some other wide open Wednesday stuff,
wide open Wednesday tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Sorry to cut it short, but anyway, for the Mad Dog, if this is JC Sherbert, appreciate all you guys joining us today on Terrible Tuesday, and we'll be back tomorrow, wide open Wednesday, on Chief Sports Network and the show. I'm out.